We're working with it.
House Committee on Energy and Environment will come to order. Colleagues, sorry for the late start, that time of session.
No problem.
Especially thankful to the Senator for being patient. Open public hearing on both Senate Bill 605 and 606. Representative Roblin, or excuse me, Senator Roblin.
All right, he'll get it.
Old habits die hard. I should have said Co-Speaker Roblin.
Yes. How about just turn them?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Arnie Roblin, for the record, Senate District 5, Coos Bay to Tillamook Bay, and into Sheridan. So I've got a lot of the coastal portion of Oregon. I'm here on two really important bills, 605 and 606. The one now, 605, has an amendment that I hope you've gotten, which is the dash 5, I believe.
Yep.
So I'll touch a little bit on that one as well. Many people who know, since I've been here, the 8 years I was in the House, the coast has been a really important part, and as you know, it's my district now, 200 miles of it, continues to be a really important part. And as I tell people, my district is bigger than a lot because I have 3 miles of the territorial sea also in my district.
Hey.
So 3 miles, the whole 200 miles makes a lot more land area. And that's all within my district. And taking care of it and doing it right is really important. In 605, we have a bill that comes to you. It got changed a couple of times. It comes to you because of a process that took place on the Oregon coast with respect to the Territorial Sea Plan. And for the first time in recent history, a recommendation given to LCDC about the plan was rejected, and another plan from the staff was put in place. And that caused a lot of consternation from the people at OPAC and a whole lot of the people on the coast who had put a lot of time and effort into it. And about 90%, maybe 95% of the plan was the same. There was just a few areas that were different. And the group, there was no real conversation about it, and so the people who were involved at OPAC came and talked with the Coastal Caucus and said, we'd really like to have a conversation about this because this is kind of a rare thing. It hasn't happened before, and we'd like to see what we're doing. So what we did is we wrote a bill that said, you know, we understand that the decision-making group is this other commission, that OPAC is an advisory committee to it, but they put a lot of time, effort, and energy into understanding the areas of the coast. And so what we asked in this bill is to have a process by which if they are not going to take the recommendations, that instead of just making the decision right then, that they take whatever decision that they would like to make and they send it back to OPAC and say, you get this one more bite at the apple to look at it and tell us, here's what we plan on doing. Explain to us why we shouldn't, and give us another recommendation. And then, given 155 days later, they need to have a response back or mutually agree to extend the time. And say, here's what we would like you to do. Here's the reasons why we have it. Here's why we think it's better than the other plan. But at the end of the day, both plans will come back, and LCDC gets to make their decision based on either one of those, the new recommendation from OPAC or the original recommendation that they had decided on. But it gives that one more opportunity. And the amendment, all it does is basically say, this one more bite, it has to end, and we hadn't put in specifically that after 155 days, if nothing had been done, they can just go ahead and take the action, and it was kind of left out. So this basically says, if they don't come back with a recommendation, they don't do anything else, at the end of the 155 days, if they haven't agreed, LCDC makes their decision. So it ends the process so that we know what we're doing, we know where it's going to, and I believe that some really good thought can be put into those 155 days from all the information that was done before, and OPAC has that one more chance to try to explain to the Commission and to the others why they believe these things would be more important, and that's what we're asking in 605. In 606, and I have to say we worked well with fishermen and other users of those, as well as the industry that's trying to look at wave energy, and said, you know, one of the big issues that we have is what happens if we lose a buoy, or if you decommission after 20 years, you don't going to use it anymore. How do we know that the amount of money that's been decided about decommissioning it is going to be enough? And so really this is, we have a very articulate senator who uses words in amazing ways, who currently is not with us because she was in a little accident, and she called it the getting the S off the bottom of the ocean bill. I won't say the whole word. I can let you fill that in.
Stuff.
Senator?
Shrimp?
Senator? Yeah, senator. Get the senator off the road.
Oh, I was thinking stuff.
Make sure that we get the stuff off the bottom of the ocean. And as you know, we did have one buoy sink shortly after it was put into the ocean off Newport. It took about $1 million. Now, that company came through and did it to get it off the ocean. But as you know, getting things off the ocean is not easy. There's a lot of effort that goes into figuring out how to big things off the ocean. Currently, off of Reedsport, there is an anchoring device that was put there. It's many tons of concrete. And if they don't attach something to it soon, somebody needs to get it off the bottom of the ocean. And so what this bill is it sets out the criteria about, we'll thoughtfully think about this and make sure that we have in place the financing and the others to clear up this stuff. And if we lose one, they know that they have to go get it and they have to return it back to the way it was and get all their stuff. One of the things that came up, interestingly enough, is we were going to have them take everything out. And Terry Thompson, who used to be a member here and who is a fisherman off the coast, said, look, when we do other things in the ocean, we say if it's anchored, screwed into the bottom, you go down a meter below the sand surface and you cut it off. You don't have to bring everything up. And everybody said, oh, that makes sense. So we put in what we have done kind of before in building this process. And then at the end of it, we've been having some conversations and we decided it would be great for the Department of Energy to do a study to think about how transporting that energy back from wherever the wave buoys or wind buoys might be to the shore, that link, that cable, is very expensive, and we don't want lots of them. We would like to consolidate that so that you have a couple of different organizations. There's just, you know, buoys out here. Bring it all to one place and hub and send it in. And so we're asking ODO to look about how maybe we could help fund those. Then the state would own part of the transmission to and from line. We have a bill that's in Ways and Means that talks about when energy is being sold, that some of the money that comes back comes to the state, and some of it will go to research on the ocean. Some will go to the county in which it's coming into. And that's another bill. It's part of the combination of these. But this asks ODO, and they actually had the money. That's why this one didn't come here. It was something that they felt was important for them to study and that they would do, and it's part of the bill as well, which helps us look towards what we can do in the multiple uses of the ocean and doing it responsibly and making sure that at the end of the day, when people leave, they don't leave the stuff out there. They get rid of it and take it off the ocean. So that's what the two bills do. And if you have any questions, I would love to answer them. I'm excited that the bills are here for you to look at.
Thank you, Senator. I have a couple questions, mostly on 605, to make sure that I'm understanding the process correctly.
Yep.
So you have OPAC, or as it says, as it's called in the amendment, the council.
Correct.
Making a recommendation to LCDC, or as it's called,
the commission. Yep.
In here. And the intention of the bill, if I understand it correctly, is that OPAC makes a recommendation to LCDC. If LCDC says, nope, we think there needs to be a change in that recommendation, they send it back to OPAC.
They tell them what that would be,
mm-hmm.
and then they send it back.
And then OPAC, I don't see it in the bill. OPAC has one more shot at a revision?
That one, when they send it back, they have 155 days
okay.
to send back a recommendation to the commission. Which it could say, okay, we came to the conclusion that what you have proposed is right, so we're good. That's good. We've looked at it again. Now we hadn't thought about that before. Maybe that's a good. They could come with that decision. They could say we don't like that one, but we like this other, and it's a modified from what we had. Here's why we think that's better, and we're going to send it back. So now the commission is going to get, in that case, two reports back. One, their initial one that said here's what we planned on doing back 155 days ago, the commission had planned to doing, and OPAC's revisions to it. They can then select either one of those, their original decision or the new OPAC recommendation.
And that's capital A and capital B under subsection B, so that they must, if the council makes subsequent recommendations for amendments, the council must A, include the commission specified revisions in the recommendation. So
correct.
That's recommendation one, we're
right.
giving you back to the council what you
sent to us
originally, or B, the subsequent recommendations, the amendment on that within 155
correct.
Days. if the commission then further decides that for some reason it doesn't want to take, I suppose it could just take action on A and
right.
not B.
Right.
Is there any requirement
that
they go back to OPAC?
No.
Okay, so it's one additional
right.
cycle.
Correct.
With two recommendations that come out of it,
up
the original plus, up to two, the original plus potentially an amended original.
Correct.
Thank you. Vice Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, on 606, are the terms of this retroactive at all to...
No, we did
it's
not...
It's all looking forward.
All looking forward.
Okay.
There's only one out there right now.
I don't know what the extent
is. And they have they have an agreement because there was a statement that said you had to be able to do it. You could self-insure and do some other kinds of things, which we weren't sure was as adequate. And as we look at what's happening with the current one, we're not sure they're going to finish it, and we're a little concerned that what we have with the Department of State Lands will, in fact, be enough to get that anchor off. We assume that it will be. But, yeah, it is not retroactive. It is only looking forward.
And the language only pertains to wave energy installations, or could there be other types of
this
that gets left from other uses?
We already have agreements with the people who bring the big cables onshore. We've got commitments with some other stuff, but this one really is talking about energy. It could be wind energy. It's anything you're going to mount out the coast to produce energy and bring it in.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Representative Whitson.
Chair. Senator, thank you for bringing this bill forward. It came to my attention some time ago, and this is related in a roundabout way to what you're talking about. A small town in New England had three large wind turbines that they decided they didn't want anymore. They were put up, and the town as a group decided not to. And when they went to take them down, the estimated cost was from $5 to $15 million to take the three turbines down. And so I think it's really important that we consider what, when we're putting it up, what it's going to cost to take down as well. Thank you.
Thanks. Further comments? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator, thank you for bringing this. I'm happy for this approach. I like it. I just share the Chair's confusion when it comes to how it actually works. So I'm looking at the amendment, and I just want to go through the piece that's between line 3 and line 15. Mm-hmm. So what it says is the commission does not make the findings, then the commission returns the plan to the council, and the commission can specify needed changes, and then the council can make subsequent recommendations, but if it does, it has to include the commission's revisions. And then in B, it says, line 11, make the subsequent recommendations for amendment with 155 days. But it doesn't say what happens then.
If you go down, if the council,
right, if you go down to C, then it says...
They would either, keep going, it goes...
It then says in C, if the council does not make, what happens if the council does make? Because the assumption in B is that the council does make those recommendations within the 155 days. Those would be in addition to the commission's specified revisions.
Right.
But it doesn't say what the commission then must do.
The commission may adopt the territorial sea plan, which is what this is all about.
Right.
So they're going to either adopt the territorial sea plan as it's revised or the way they send it over. One of those two plans they have to pick. If at 155 days they don't send one back, they can adopt the territorial sea plan that the commission had originally said they were going to adopt.
Can I dumb this down a little bit?
Please. For my purposes, at least.
If not for mine, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. So. Let's just make up an issue non-ocean related.
I can actually do this one if you want me to share you this one. Maybe the territorial sea plan. One of the issues that came up in the OPAC recommendation was the siting off of Reedsport. And they gave a recommendation that was closer to the beach than the currently where OPT is planning and doing it. The commission said, we've already promised OPT, so we're going to leave that place available to them unless they go away. Then it goes away. So... But if you had taken the commission had accepted the OPAC resort, it would have moved that. They didn't. So they sent it back. So now the OPEC will look at those two, that particular issue, i.e., are we going to put the little box that you can put it in close to the shore, or are we going to move it back out to where the OPT one was, with the provision that if OPT goes away, that site goes away, or which was the recommendation that the commission took, or do we come up with another site that we wanted to give for wave energy near that same area? If they choose another area, different from the one they originally had, for different reasons, they say that, you know, the reason that we don't like the OPT one is it is right in the middle of the heart of crabbing country, and we think it disrupts that too much. We want to pick this other place that's slightly away from that, and we think that's a better place. Now, we know that it's going to have maybe a longer line to get back to the coast, so therefore it's going to cost more. So we understand that that's going to put a burden on the company, but we as OPEC believe that's the better position. So they send both those back. The commission can, and they would both come back, because the commission's original choice to leave it where it is would be there, plus this new revision from OPEC. At that time, the commission has to choose one or the other of those, and the plan will be done. But they get to pick the one they chose first, or the new OPEC recommendation.
So I guess I'm just trying to figure out, the council, let's take a motion, says we think people ought to adopt dogs, cats, and hamsters.
Okay. Right?
Goes to the commission. The commission says, nope, we just like dogs. Sends it back, and they say, okay, we're going to send you back a new plan that's two plans. One, people shall adopt dogs. And two, a compromise, how about just dogs and cats?
Or, yeah.
And it goes back to the commission. The commission says, all right, I have two recommendations. One, dogs. One, dogs and cats. We're still going to go with dogs, or...
And it's done.
And it's done, or...
Or we're going to go with dogs and cats. And it's done.
And then we're done, and it's not going back. Is that a fair...
That's a fair appraisal.
Summary? I think I got my head around this.
Mr. Chair.
I got lost with the hamsters.
And there's some other people in the back that can kind of...
That's why we threw the hamsters out earlier on.
Raccoon. Thank you.
Don't even. Mr. Boone.
No, and I don't know if it would be helpful to explain what happened in the actual case that brought this forward, the process that was going on with the community groups and their recommendations, et cetera, and then what happened. But this happened for this is done for a reason, because we didn't want that to happen again. And Senator Roblin is saying is this, he's using a real-time situation, you know, rather than a broad scope of it, but the real situation of an actual project out there, that this, you know, that this might happen. So,
my understanding, and I've read, we've made so many amendments, and we've talked about this so long. I hope, and that's why it's good you're reading this to see if it makes common sense as well as other sense. But what we were saying is that after a decision is made, if they haven't taken the recommendation from OPEC, who has spent months working on this and coming with a recommendation, and that's not to say that the people in the commission weren't also their staff was spending a lot of time on this too. They were there all the way. So the recommendations are a little different. What they're saying is the staff or whatever other recommendations that the commission wants to accept, if they're different from OPEC's, please let OPEC look at them one more time, give an okay and say, okay, maybe your rationale about doing it is okay, and send that back and then it's done. Or pick another one and say, here's why we think this is better from all of the conversations that we've had. And now you've got both of these back in front of you to look at. Pick one and it's done.
I guess I'm speaking only for myself now. I have a bit of a concern that hopefully you can help address. OPEC was designated, as you know far better than I do, as an advisory body
to LCDC.
If it feels like, and maybe this is just a feeling, we put it away, that what we're now saying is LCDC can only adopt a plan that's presented by OPEC by, and maybe that plan is essentially what LCDC said it wanted by giving it back to OPEC and then getting it back in one version. But functionally, it means that LCDC is now can only accept a plan from OPEC, and that, in its essence, almost sets up, in a weird way, a minority report situation back from OPEC. is the bill set up this way to preserve LCDC's autonomy to make its own decisions or to constrain it?
I think, from my perspective, the reason the bill is set up is to try to get the best decision for the management of the Oregon Territorial Sea by considering the people who spent the most time looking at it, both the LCDC Commission and their staff and the OPAC people. And when they don't come to an agreement, to at least take a timeout, have everybody look at it all over again, and then make the decision a little later. Because none of these decisions have to happen instantaneously. As you know, they take 4 and 5 years between them. So people keep working at it. And that having an instantaneous decision sometimes is not the best thing, and that people get entrenched in a belief or an idea about whatever they think that they want, and they don't always, in the heat of the time, both sides, they don't take that final look and say, okay, now I understand why that might be a better solution. And to take that time and do that and come up with the best decision to manage our coastal resources. That's why we're doing what we're doing here.
Additional questions? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I see it as kind of sometimes we're faced with that similar situation where a bill comes to a committee and it's the culmination of a year-long or interim work group or something like that. And they present their case, and to 5 people or 7 people or whatever. And here's these people who have only hearing it for the first time are making a decision on it. And then the work group is sitting there going, wait a minute, you know, this isn't the right way because people depended on us. We spent all this time doing it. Let us, I forgot the piece that the committee puts another idea out there. Let us take that back and consider it, and then, you know, and tell us why you don't like ours, you know, why you're doing it this way. I think it's just it's a true thing, ground truth thing in a sense, where the public in this case is the group of people who live along the coast, and they're bombarded with stuff like this all the time in different sectors that affect them. And so when it comes to a bigger group that really they don't have a say over making this big decision, and I think this keeps it true in that sense. And then the OPAC, which has been there for a long time, took a long time to gain trust, et cetera, making decisions based on, you know, their work, and the commission that they report to that really hasn't been there all along the way. Maybe one person in this case has, but that kind of thing, I think it's just more settling in that sense. And does that make sense? Because they're big decisions, and they're important decisions.
Further discussion? All right. Senator, thank you so much for bringing these concepts and
Absolutely.
For coming by. Call up Joe Rollator and Jason Bush. I have Mr. Rollator signed up for testimony on both bills, and since we have both open, feel free to give those. Mr. Bush, I have you just signed up on 606, but you're welcome to comment on 605 if you care to.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, my name is Joe Rollator. I represent Seafood Oregon, which is the Commodity Commission. Before Ocean Commodity Commissions, we as commercial fishermen pay a share of our catch as ad valorem fee. It goes into the Commodity Commission, and we together come and try to educate you about ideas and things that occur. I'd like to start on 605. And as you know, I've been around this building a long time. And
really?
Yeah, really. And I was in the room when, I won't say I had anything to do with it, but I was in the room when the OPAC bill, the structure that we live under now, was designed. And as a fisherman and as a community, coastal community person, I looked at OPAC as people who had a little piece of knowledge about this very complicated issue. So it's fishermen, it's scientists, it's government officials. And those folks, OPAC, gets together and looks at things in depth for a long time, and then they make a recommendation to LCDC. Okay. Now, in this case, what we think happened is LCDC took some different tack than what we'd ever talked about. So they took a staff recommendation that was somewhat different than what we'd all been talking about for years. And so with this bill, we would just get another chance to say to the commission, to DLCD, that you didn't look at this or you didn't look at that or whatever, and here's why after 4 years we made this decision. So just gives us a little bit of another chance to interact with the DLCD, which we understand is a final decision maker. It's Senate Bill 100. So it's really confusing. All the acronyms. It's really easy to get lost in this, but we think 605 will help make both fishermen and the scientists that are on OPAC and the people that are making the decisions at DLCD make better decisions.
Thank you. Did you care to comment on Senate Bill 606 as
yes,
well?
Yes, I would. On Senate Bill 606, I'd have to say that as somebody who spent a lot of time on the ocean maintaining the things that I use out on the ocean, we have some skepticism that wave energy devices are going to survive out there. And if they don't survive, we want to make sure they get taken out. So we understand that we share the ocean with a lot of other people in this world, and we want to share that responsibly, but we don't want to have to worry about coming up with the funds to take these wind energy, this wind energy all over Maui that's just rusting. And there's things on the bottom of the ocean that just sit there and rust. And so we'd like to not have something that somebody put in and not have a provision for taking it back out. And he's the expert.
Well, we'll turn to him now, Mr. Bush.
We're in trouble. Chair Bailey, members of the committee, my name is Jason Bush. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Wave Energy Trust. We're a private nonprofit. We're funded by the Oregon Innovation Council, which in turn is funded by the state legislature with lottery dollars for economic development. Over the last 6 years, we've received about $10 million to promote the development of renewable energy, ocean energy in particular in Oregon. In return, we have leveraged about $26 million. We've created jobs. We've helped build things and do advanced research and understanding of the ocean. We have been a part of this conversation for the last several years, and I personally have been the executive director for the last 3.5 years, and that's when I started. On 605, just very briefly, that is a very complicated story. OPAC's decision, the fact that OPAC's recommendation was not directly adopted by LCDC, I know was problematic for members of OPAC and members from the coastal population. The other half of that story is TESPAC, Territorial Sea Plan Advisory Committee, was also an advisory body for LCDC. We met for well over a year and had a lot of meetings. So it wasn't just staff recommendation that was coming to LCDC. That staff recommendation was essentially the TESPAC recommendation, made up of 26 members representing interests as divergent as ocean energy, the fishing industry, conservation community, utility industry, local elected officials. At the end of the day, that was I can tell you from personal experience, it was a very difficult, long conversation, and people were upset on all sides. I think the 605 is somewhat of a cathartic bill, demonstrating that in the future, when we're making these very tough decisions, that we do take that last deep breath and say, okay, is this really what we want to do, and then move forward. So I think it's a reasonable bill, recognizing, of course, Chair Bailey's concern potentially that this is essentially creating the impression that OPAC's recommendation is the de facto recommendation that LCDC should adopt, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. It certainly should be given the deference that OPAC's recommendation should carry for this body, for LCDC, but again, LCDC is the final decision maker. On 606, I would first of all like to thank Joe and Terry Thompson, the Coastal Caucus, and certainly Senator Roblin for working with us on this bill. I think it's a good bill. I think that in particular it advances our goal of promoting the responsible development of ocean energy in Oregon, which is OWET's mission, and certainly decommissioning a project in a timely manner and a complete manner is absolutely the right thing to do. And we support that. I think that we worked with Joe and others, and we eliminated some provisions that created unnecessary regulations for the industry, which I think is important. I think that ocean energy ought to be treated like any other form of development in the state, and insofar as it is, we're fully supportive of the provisions of this bill. So OET and the industry supports Senate Bill 606 in its current status.
Questions for this panel? Representative Boone.
Not so much a question, but thanks to both Jason and to Joe for this. The Coastal Caucus supports these both of these bills, too, and work closely with both of them. These two were the leads on them, and the people were very helpful. So it has our bicameral, bipartisan support here.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If this sinks to the bottom, doesn't that make for better fish habitat?
Mr. Chair, member, Ms. Representative, it may, but then again, it's got stuff in it, and that might be really bad. It's also going to be in the way. There are places that we fish that, you know, we can't get really close to things that are anchored to the bottom because they snag our nets or our crab pots getting tied up in them. And so if it's serving a purpose for the general good, okay. But once it's a derelict, we'd like to see it removed.
And I might add, there's experience in the southeast where oil and gas equipment creates sort of de facto reef habitat and good fishing. Coming from Texas and living in Mississippi for several years, I can tell you red fishing is great around oil rigs. With that said, I think that the ecologists certainly do not support creating artificial habitat where it does not already exist. In our case, we're looking at development in areas that are sandy bottom. That's where the ocean energy industry wants to go. They don't want to deal with reefs or kelp beds or anything like that. Sandy open bottom. And in general, we would not support creating new habitat where it does not already exist, unless perhaps it was there originally and we destroyed it.
I would simply echo Representative Boone's comments and Mr. Bush for you in particular. This is the second bill now before this committee in which the industry has been before the committee advocating for laws that will help ensure that the industry is a responsible partner with the state of Oregon, whether that's sharing information and data or picking up after your toys. So thank you for your work on that, and I think it's a continual indicator of this industry's desire and willingness to be a good partner for the state of Oregon.
Indeed.
Thank you. And with that, gentlemen, well, thank you for your testimony.
Yes,
close the public hearings on Senate Bill 605A and 606. Open public hearing on Senate Bill 230. Call up Marion Haynes while she's coming up. Adam, you want to give us a quick overview?
Chair Bailey, members of the committee, House Bill 230A specifies orders on certain petitions to the Public Utility Commission for proposed transmission lines, for which the petitioner also seeks approval from the Energy Facility Siting Council, or FSEC, are subject to judicial review in the same manner as orders to FSEC. Specifies that parties to contested case may appeal to the Public Utility Commission for grant or denial, designates the Oregon Supreme Court as the jurisdiction for judicial review, and specifies that the review petition must be filed within 60 days after the Commission makes the final order. It outlines actions that may be taken by the Supreme Court in such cases, excludes certain delay periods from 6 months' decision period, outlines factors for continuance in such cases.
Ms. Haynes.
Good afternoon, Representative Bailey, members of the committee. My name is Marion Haynes. I represent Portland General Electric. We serve approximately 825,000 customers, mostly in the northern Willamette Valley. Senate Bill 230 is a gut and stuff bill that we started over in the Senate. The bill essentially is trying to get at a regulatory streamlining issue. It's something that provides kind of a technical fix for an issue that you're not likely to see very often, and that means, you know, once or twice every few decades. And it really stems from when a public utility is building a overhead transmission line. When we're building an overhead transmission line, we have two approvals that we need to obtain. and I'm going to use my hands for this because otherwise I get confused. One is through the Energy Facilities Siting Council, and that gives us the site certificate and ensures that we've met all the state's land use laws and provides and allows for input from counties and other things like that, and that gives us the site certificate that we need to build the project. We also need authority from the OPUC. We need what's called a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, the CPCN. And the CPCN is essentially what gives the utility the authority to condemn property should they need to, and if they haven't been able to work out an agreement with a willing property owner. The Energy Facility Siting Council has an expedited judicial review of that decision. The CPCN does not. And so we find ourselves potentially in the situation where we're trying to build a project and we've got the approvals here, we've gone through any appeals, should there be one, and yet we're stuck for probably an additional 2 years, it would add, while we're just waiting around for the court to resolve an issue that it already resolved. It's basically looking at the same types of things. So what the bill does is in section three of the bill is essentially lifts the language around the process for judicial review from the Energy Facility Siting Council process and applies that similarly to the OPUC process. And it's limited. We had talked with the courts about this. This bill is very limited to only those facilities where you need both the FSEC permit and the OPUC approval. And essentially, we're just trying to align those processes so that we can streamline when we're trying to build these types of projects, which, again, is fairly infrequently. That's my testimony, and I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Ms. Haynes. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just curious, the $5,000 undertaking, what's the source of that?
Again, this the Section 3 is in its entirety lifted from the current FSEC judicial review statute. So that decision about where that $5,000 came from happened a long time ago when that was put in place. I can't tell you what that number came from.
Well, for purposes of someone who is unhappy with the power line going somewhere, which I'm way too familiar with, would they be happy or unhappy with this piece of legislation?
Chair Burley, Representative Betts, who is they?
They would be the landowners across whose land this line might be going.
Chair Burley, Representative Betts, I left this out of my testimony. This is a really important point. This is only a change to the PUC approval that a utility has that condemnation authority. It essentially says you need to build this transmission line. Utilities have condemnation authority, and this the OPUC piece is saying, yes, you need to do this. And that's what allows us to go out and do it. This does absolutely nothing to change any rights that a particular property owner would have should there be a case that arises that needs condemnation. They still have all the appeals through the trial court and everything else that they currently have under the law. This doesn't change anything for a particular landowner.
Right. If I may, Mr. Chair.
Please.
So let me share with you the discussion I had earlier today on this bill. And because it reminded me of what actually happened with the Idaho Power Line Boardman to Hemingway project. And the issue there was in anticipation of there going to be a line, there was quite a debate on whether or not there should be a certificate of need issued. And that whole process went along, and then after it was complete, then another process started. This suggests that those two, I think, go in parallel or in tandem. So that you don't do one hoping that you're going to get a certificate of need, then find out you don't have it, then have to run back and get caught in kind of a weird spot. So I would suggest that those who are familiar with this would say, this shortens the opportunity for someone who wants to be an obstructionist. And I'm not necessarily in favor of an obstructionist or anything of that nature. I'm kind of in favor of streamlining projects, but I want to know I'm doing it. So that's my question. The question is, if I was opposed to a power line going across my property and I didn't want to see the certificate of need process slowed down or in any way coordinated with these other processes, would I object to this bill?
Chair Bailey, Representative Reed, the processes don't change. They're still the same public notice and meetings that go on and long processes both at FSEC and the PUC. This does shorten the timeline by which the court system will determine whether the OPUC made the right decision. And it is just trying to align it with the process that's already there if you've got the site certificate. I would note that we have reached out to as many folks as we could think of prior to this bill, Thousand Friends of Oregon, Oregonians in Action, League of Women Vote. I mean, we tried to reach out far and wide and have not found specific opposition to this bill.
Right. Follow up, Mr. Chase. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I'm just saying I want to understand it.
Yeah.
And so it happens that this particular part of that which is occurring in my part of the world has passed, I hope. And thus the passage of this should not have any negative impact on those who might want to delay a process. So from my standpoint, as long as I understand what we're doing, I really have no objection to it. I just figured I would ask it from your standpoint first to see your take on it, and you've explained it, so.
Thank you. Representative Whitsitt.
Is this related specifically to the condemnation process of the two, as you're describing these? Is this related to the condemnation process? Does this speed it up, if you will?
Chair Bailey, Representative Whitsitt, it does not speed up the condemnation process, no. That's a wholly separate, different process that, you know, we would have to work with particular landowners on, and that's not what's addressed here. This is simply the process through which the PUC says you need to build this project.
Any additional questions for this witness? We have no one else signed up to testify, so if you got questions, ask them now. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hans. We appreciate your testimony. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 230. Colleagues, I'm going to carry over the work session on these bills. We don't have the paperwork ready on 605, and I want to make sure we have a couple of questions addressed on 230. So we're going to carry over these work sessions, not to next Tuesday, in which we have a field trip, but to that Thursday. So, having given sufficient notice, we will carry over those work sessions. And seeing no further issues before the committee is adjourned.